Good morning, everyone. Grim headline out of Baghdad this morning from where John Leland, New York Times reporter, joins us. A car bomb killed at least 18 and injured dozens more in a strike against the Interior Ministry's offices in central Baghdad. Apparently, some hotels were also hit by apparently coordinated suicide attacks. John Leland, this main facility that was destroyed by the car bomb, what was it?
It was their forensics office, their forensics department. It was not the main office of the Ministry of the Interior, which I think would have been a totally devastating attack. And it was one of the more exposed public buildings here in Baghdad. It was right close to a main traffic rotary. So the bomb blew up just on the rotary.
So, and you can hear that John Leland is on a sketchy Skype connection there from Baghdad at the New York Times Bureau in Baghdad. So it's more a target of opportunity than a specific, target that might suggest why these attacks took place. So what are the claims of responsibility at this point?
Well, the military here believes it's al-Qaeda. The government has said it is al-Qaeda acting in conjunction with former members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. And most people seem to believe that we're seeing escalating violence in advance of the elections. Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister here, has really staked his reputation on being able to create a secure environment. And any attacks are believed to be an attempt to undermine that claim.
And finally, we were receiving reports yesterday of the execution of Ali Kamawi, so-called Chemical Ali, Saddam Hussein's most famous relative. Any chance this is related to that?
Certainly yesterday's bombings of three major hotels were not connected with that, because they were really sophisticated operations that would have taken weeks and possibly months of planning. Today's attack is likely not connected with it, but it is more possibly connected with it.
Finally, any change on the part of U.S. forces in Iraq as in terms of countermeasures protecting Baghdad?
The U.S. forces have largely moved out of the cities. They're not doing operations in the cities anymore unless asked by the Iraqi security forces. So their focus is mainly on electronic intelligence in different ways, and the Iraqis are doing the human intelligence. And on both sides, they're saying there's a better sharing of information now.
But certainly some level of insecurity there in Baghdad. John Leland is a New York Times reporter in Baghdad. Thanks so much.
Let's go to Australia now. In tennis, Rafael Nadal bowed out of the Australian Open after he suffered a knee injury during his quarterfinal game. We're joined now by John Wertheim, who stayed up. He's a senior writer at Sports Illustrated. He's in Melbourne covering the Open. John, what happened to Nadal today? Is this part of his tendonitis problem?
Well, we hope it's only that serious. It was really a sensational match with Andy Murray. It was really very high-quality tennis. Nadal's a defending champion. Murray's a top-five player. And then toward the end of the second set, the beginning of the third set, Nadal clearly did something to his knee. We're sort of still awaiting word. But, here's a guy who really competes harder than anyone else. And for him to retire, for him to basically just sort of quit in the middle of the match and say, I'm not fit to continue, it must be pretty serious. And it was really, really an unfortunate way to end what had been, for two sets anyway, just a great tennis match.
He has had trouble with his knees, as we talked about earlier, with tendonitis, and some people say that's because of his playing style. Do you agree?
I do, and I'm not sure there's an alternative style. I mean, it's just sort of the way his game is built and his body is built. But no, it really has become quite a concern that he was, a year ago he won this tournament and really seemed to be, he was the number one ranked player and really seemed to be one of these guys that could challenge for the all-time great. And he's had these injuries since, and you wonder, given how physical his tennis is, and they play on these hard courts, and the game, the rackets have gotten lighter and the hitting's gotten harder, you really worry if he can sustain a decent career now.
Do you think this may be the end of his career? I mean, you're talking about whether or not he can sustain it. Can we expect to see him back?
I think we'll see him back. I mean, he's still in his early 20s, and maybe there are adjustments he can make both to his game and to his playing schedule. But, I think we see this in other sports, too, where some of these athletes who just, they have a certain way they play. It's so physically taxing, and I think he'll be back. But I don't think now his trajectory is to go on to be one of the greatest ever. I just don't think the game's gotten too physical, and I think his body might just not be cut out for it.
But let's take apart the physical bit for a second. I mean, Nadal's physical is lower extremities, whereas someone like one of the other players, you know, it's more the forehand, the actual strokes that where the strength comes.
Yeah, exactly. He also has sort of a big upper body, which I think taxes the lower body. But I think some of it, too, is just the style he plays, which is this grinding physical style. He runs after every ball. He's not light on his feet, as they say. And it's really a joy to watch. It's a great contrast to some of the other players. But, you know, I've likened it sort of to Earl Campbell, the old running back. Some
right.
guys sort of are fleet of foot and dance around the side, and others just sort of run up the gut. And I think, unfortunately for Nadal, it's just such a heavy game he plays, and his mentality is to go after every ball. It just doesn't lend itself to a long career, unfortunately.
So, John Wertheim, who's left in the Australian Open to watch for?
Well, there's still, I mean, Justine Henin on the women's side is a big story, and, you know, we have Roger Federer, who's going for still another Grand Slam. I mean, there are plenty of storylines to follow, but again, it was such a nice match tonight. It was awfully disappointing to see it end the way it did.
Okay, John Wertheim is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He joined us from Melbourne,
and
Australia.
That's a great comparison to Earl Campbell, because in the end, even though he was a legend, his body gave out on him. It does on so many NFL players. So, coming up,
I can't think of anything more devastating to the public interest.
We're going to talk more about that Supreme Court decision on campaign finance rules and how foreign corporations might be able to influence American elections now. More in a few minutes. We're also heading to the State of the Union address tomorrow night. Thinking about it, what do you think President Obama might say?
This is Gary from Route 80. Why don't we borrow more money?
Six-word State of the Union address. You can do it. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.